This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Ollie and Si on FUBAR Radio.
This is FUBAR Radio. Ollie and Simon here with you. And every week we take a look back to the last 7 days on planet Earth and what's been happening through our beat. Well, through my eyes and then through Simon's eyes and then his glass lens.
Yep.
Very thick lenses.
All right.
But we're going to get into Twitter news shortly. Seb will be here, our newsreader, and there's some great... It's always the best way to gauge what's been going on planet Earth now, in the modern day, is to see what the biggest trends have been.
I mean, Seb will tell you, he doesn't even have to do reporting anymore. Went to uni to become a broadcast journalist, just sits on Twitter all day.
Some people are even tweeting before the crime happens. I'm being chased.
People find out about the breaking news first there, don't they, really?
So we'll get into Twitter news shortly. What have I done for last week? I went down to Bristol.
Oh yeah?
Last week for one of my friend's party. It was frustrating because I had to work. I kind of had to work on the Saturday morning.
You drove back on your lonesome.
Yeah. So I had that dilemma, and everyone will have this, where I drove down to Bristol. We did a radio show in the morning. I drove down to Bristol in the afternoon from the Midlands. And met my friends. James, my friend, came with me. Met my friends for lunch. And it was just really, really nice. They're so good to me. Like, they look after my dietary requirements. They're just like, you know you've got some friends that are just so solid.
They multicoloured you.
They totally multicoloured. Sometimes I sleep next to their bed.
Right, okay.
I wake up in the morning and just see
you
my...
You sound like a third wheel at this point.
Oh, I am. I am. Massively, fine. But so comfortably the third
good.
Wheel.
Okay.
I wake up to Biglin's giant feet and Rose's little feet just side by side sticking out the bed. There's a real comfort to see that
good.
In the morning.
Yeah.
And later on, everyone came. Like 30 people came from all different parts of the country for Sam's birthday, Biglin's birthday. And it starts heating up at home and they rented a club in Bristol.
Lovely.
An underground thing. It's all getting going.
Oh, and you got a brand new combo and Iris are pumping out in Bristol clubs?
Yeah, sort of a dubstep version of that.
Right.
And it's all sort of vamping up and everyone's getting really, really excited and we're all in the house. Everyone's getting, it's building. And I'm having that dilemma of, do I go with this and try and drive back in the morning feeling... I'm either on or off.
Yeah,
there's no sort of middle lane.
It's everything or nothing.
It's everything or nothing. So I made the decision. I was like, no, I'm going to listen to Desert Island Discs, get on the M5 and go home at about midnight before it all kicks off and before they get to the club.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy comes up to me at the party and he goes, "John Pill, mate." I say, "Oh, well, I've got to drive back." He goes, "Oh yeah, hold on a minute." Comes back. "Bit of coke then."
Really? As if
I'd gone for a prescription at the pharmacy and you'd gone, "Well, have you got anything for this cut?" And they go, "Is it an open cut or has it got a blister?" You go, "It's got a blister." "Oh, hold on 2 seconds then. I haven't got the right thing." He comes
back. He's driving. Oh, okay.
And he goes, "But as in like, oh, are you, as if this will get you home, I use this when I'm driving."
Yeah.
So he goes, "Oh, here's a little bit of coke then."
Unbelievable.
And for a second, the part of me went, I am quite tired.
If he's condoning that.
In the end, I had the
Wurzels and coke on a night in Bristol.
In the end, I had a Terry's chocolate orange bar and a cappuccino.
Which gave me
a boost, I won't lie.
Yeah. I just as raving a weekend. Doing some gardening with the in-laws.
Now, this is the dilemma of, there are so many... When you first meet the love of your life,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you have that first passionate kiss and it finally comes together. And it's not sex, it's like love, and it's just intense.
Yeah.
What you don't see at that point is the in-laws.
Hey, look, I love family. They're great.
I know, but... Gardening in the rain on a Sunday.
It was the worst weather. That was what made it difficult. What was getting me through is that when we moved house and moved in together, he got us a van for free, her dad, and set us up.
Dads always have vans.
I don't know how, toolboxes. Where do you accumulate all that stuff from? Yeah. But so I was convincing myself that it's fine. I'm going to power through this. It felt like going to sea because I was in charge of doing the tip runs.
So what part of that felt like going to sea?
Well, because it was so wet and windy.
You were captain of the truck.
I was captain of the truck. Oh, yeah. I had a little hat. But every time I got out and the wind and everything and I'm hurling stuff into a skip, it felt like I was like pulling ropes on a ship and things.
Right.
It really did.
Yeah.
But it sort of worked well that the weather was so shit because we got to just roll in because there's no one else there. And we did about 15, 16 runs to the tip, so it was ideal. However, on about the 10th trip, we got there and there was like a backlog of about 7 or 8 cars. And we'd no idea, you know, either there'd just been a surge in, people needed to get rid of waste all at one point, but we didn't know what was going on. Was in the queue, sort of a bit irate because I was wet and horrible.
Angry at the in-laws. Yeah.
One of the guys working at the tip comes over laughing his head off. He's pissing himself laughing. And based on how crap the weather is, he's no reason to be happy. But he came over with a cigarette nearly falling out of his mouth and wound down the window and he goes, "Really sorry, mate. There's a bit of a hold-up." Gentleman's just, he's unloading some stuff from his car and he's just chucked his car keys in the skip. He's like, "Yeah, they've gone right down to the bottom.
They're so deep, they're like 30 feet.
All of the skips were full." And
I just love that idea of the moment.
He had to walk home. Luckily, his house was in range, but he had to walk home to go and get a spare pair. And it's a one-way system, so his car is just blocking everyone until he gets a new set of keys.
I just like the idea of him when he lets go. He's puts his hand over his mouth. And he turns around with his hands still over his mouth.
And his wife's
just queuing.
"You'll never guess what happened. You never guess what I
did. I have done an absolute clanger here.
That is what happened."
So that's the important news out of the way. And I'll get into the weekly news of the world with Twitter news next.
"Lately I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars." Swing my heart across the line. In my face is flashing signs. Seek it out and ye shall find. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. And I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told. Kills me, makes me feel alive.
Makes me feel alive. Hey, I've been losing sleep.
Fubar Radio, Oli and Si here, and we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. We're joined by Sebastian, our news reading friend.
Hello.
And one way to monitor the muggles, and the easiest way, is to look on Twitter to see what is trending worldwide. So let's take a look back at the top trends over the last week.
Yeah, I mean, as I said last week, it's pretty much how we just make up the news these days.
I know, you don't have to do any work, do you? Just sit on Twitter. Yeah. Top 10 hashtags, away you go. Lazy.
Yeah.
Well, I think in some way the newsreaders have sort of given up, because the reporters have given up because people are finding out the stories unfiltered through often people that are actually there at the event of the...
And they're not getting paid for it either. I am.
Unbelievable.
Anyway,
what a steal.
Anyway, hashtag G2015 first up, which of course is the general election. It's underway. You might have thought that it had already got underway and it's been underway for months and months and months and you're already bored silly. Well, you're about to get even more bored silly because it's like officially started now.
There was that weird formality we had at the beginning of the week on Monday where David Cameron has to go around, and there is no reason for this, just pomposity and tradition. He has to go over to the Queen's House, I think it's Buckingham Palace, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And then you knocked on the door. All right, Queenie.
Yeah.
Can you dissolve government? I mean, that sounds scary. Dissolve government. Makes it sound like all the laws go as well, doesn't it?
They had
makes it sound like that everything is stopped.
It's Parliament, but yeah.
They had a helicopter overhead where they follow, you know, the journey over.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
sort of
yeah.
That. I wonder whether it's like, you know, when you're doing like an Amdram production and you're in character on stage, and as soon as you step off, like he steps into Buckingham Palace, I wonder if they shut the door and then they just talk normal, like,
yeah,
is the helicopter, yeah, are we out of,
are we
yeah,
out of
yeah,
sight yeah. of Sky News,
yeah, oh fucking hell, this is a
fuck me, David, I've had an awful day.
Can you believe we're doing this again?
I know.
And then the Queen's then just going, you're telling me the corgi just shit on the car.
Maybe. I like to think so. I'd like to think it was that. I'd like to think that the royal family is actually like the royal family, the TV show, really, behind closed doors. They just sat around watching TV, passing judgment.
At Asem Swedan on Twitter said hashtag GE2015. A complete moron has today interviewed a complete inconsequence, according to an emerging report.
Lovely that about some tweets coming through. It?
Yeah. It's what I do. Moving on, hashtag Zane, you let me down.
Oh, for God's sake. We did this, well, we spoke about it a bit last week, but...
I know, but now it's absolutely official. There are millions of teenage girls, and probably slightly older girls as well, whose hearts have been broken because Zayn Malik has officially quit One Direction. He says he wants to lead a normal life. Good luck with that, Zayn.
Yeah. Has he got a new single coming out already? No, I'm not joking.
I think he has, actually.
He's got a new single. Yeah, he's produced it with Naughty Boy.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
And there's already been a feud. I can't even talk about this. There's already been a feud between Naughty Boy and...
Yeah. Louis Tomlinson.
Yeah,
Louis Tomlinson's very, very unhappy about this because what normal 22-year-old in his normal everyday life does a song with Naughty Boy?
But that's an accountant going off sick from work and then a few days later for stress and a few days later starting up with another firm.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what he's done. He just but I suppose not being in One Direction, he's not going to have that same level of scrutiny. So if he does cheat on his fiancée, then the cameras won't be around to see him.
My favourite conspiracy theory about Zayn leaving the band, and this was like a big one that was trending on Twitter.
Presenting Top Gear?
No, a lot of people genuinely thought that he'd left to join ISIS.
Yeah. No, this is true. This
are
is
you
absolutely
kidding?
True. No. There was...
Which I just think is completely racist.
Unbelievable. It's absolutely true, though. People were conspiring and talking online about it.
But I love the idea of that he has got, subtly, has got the sort of the darkest skin colour out of all of the One Direction guys. You know, he's got quite tanned skin, Zayn, hasn't he? That we'd all like. He always looks great all the time. I like the idea that potentially we are that racist that we point the finger that, oh, he's left, is he?
Yeah, probably.
Dave Mel goes, probably joined ISIS.
I know, one of the most evil groups in the world, and he's left them to join ISIS. Anyway, moving on you just sort of briefly alluded to it. Top Gear hashtag Clarkson, of course. Jeremy Clarkson.
What's the latest now? It's died down a little bit in the last couple of days.
Well, actually, earlier in the week they were suggesting that the Top Gear producer, I'm not sure it's the producer he is, he whacked,
yep,
but he's quitting because Clarkson obviously has now been let go by the BBC. So his Top Gear's falling apart before our eyes.
Didn't Jeremy Clarkson joint own the production company behind it all?
It's really complicated, and I think that's the issue that everyone's got with this, is there's a lot of money involved, and it's not just firing a presenter. He does have a lot to do with the companies that supply the programme. My mum said, good riddance, he's just a common thug. And yeah, wow. And what I thought about this was, I said to mum, I said, this wasn't really about cold meat. I said, I guarantee, like, the idea that there was an ongoing feud. This guy worked for the BBC. Clarkson had his own. I imagine Clarkson's crew are like the Motley crew. Do you know what I mean? Just like, go on, let's do it. Let's push the boundaries. And there are a few BBC people going, you can't.
Health and safety does state that you can't do that, actually.
And I bet you it was an ongoing thing where tension built up. And I'm not defending him. I think he should have been fired. But I don't think he's some kind of raving lunatic that goes around punching people. It, you know, this fracas, or whatever you want to call it, was clearly something that built up over a long time, and it blew up.
That's probably true. However, it's still a working professional environment. You know, if it was something that built up over the time in the pub or at constant family Christmases, then you can understand how it comes in. But in a professional working environment where you're supposed to be responsible, you're being paid to be there, and you have certain standards that you're made aware of by the BBC, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It's unexcusable in my mind.
Well,
absolutely unexcusable.
He's paid the price, and from career suicide to hashtag German wings. I don't know what you're reacting to. This is, of course, Andreas Lubitz.
I never thought it was too soon, but
hashtag,
now I do.
Hashtag too soon.
I've always said it's never too soon. You know, being funny and humour is at the set. But then I just felt it then. Just felt
did
like,
you?
Yeah, that's too
did
soon.
You? Well, I can, I can tell you hashtag too soon's not trending. Andreas Lubitz, of course, this is the pilot who crashed the plane deliberately into the Alps, killing all 150 people on board.
My girlfriend was in France at the time. Flew the same day as that happened and then flew back 3 days later from Birmingham to Paris. She is a good flyer. I've flown with her before. She's absolutely fine. She's really doesn't get nervous or anything. But she said, you can't help but let the sort of the fear of what has just happened, you can't help but let it get to you. And she said, like, arriving at the airport, I was so nervous because your mind races ahead of you. You are at the mercy, and your hands are in the life of the guys controlling the plane. And she just felt absolutely helpless to it. But apparently one of the pilots of another German Wings aircraft came out and said,
this is the next morning.
Yeah, next morning. There was a flight due to be scheduled. Certain amount of passengers turned up, and he personally greeted every single one of them, shook all of their hands, and just reassured them, look, I am going to get you home safe.
And you
please
know those-
do not worry. And Hayley said to me, she was just like, I needed that so much when I boarded. I needed to hear that because it's irrational, but it just takes control of your mind.
What I want to say, you know, in the summer when you put those fly streamers up in the door?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd rather have that than the cockpit door now.
Yeah, yeah.
Easy in and out would be ideal. Did you see the...
It's like a saloon in a cowboy western.
I'm not sure that's going to help.
Did you see the... Apparently there was an advert on the Underground as a promotional campaign for German Wings.
Oh, yeah, this is true.
And the slogan of the advert was, we've got a surprise for you.
That's true.
I'm not joking.
Isn't that absolutely unbelievable?
Oh dear.
But to the my dad's an airline pilot, or a retired airline pilot now, and we've talked about this a lot over the last week, and with the Airbus, you can't, the Airbus is so advanced that if you were to imagine flick the controller all the way to the right, the aircraft would only bank to about 30%. You
really?
Wouldn't be able to roll it, and you wouldn't be able to nosedive it because it has safety systems on board. So he was obviously, there's lots of speculation now about this guy being completely delusional and stuff like that. There's no way that you can be completely off your tits and hold a job down like that. You know, it's really
demanding.
It's really demanding, and it clearly was a reactive thing that happened. Something must have happened in his life, because on a short haul flight, it's unlikely that one of the crew will leave to go to the toilet. So the guy left to go to the toilet, and it must have been at that point he went...
He flipped.
In a moment of... And you don't know what was going on, something awful in his life, possibly with a girlfriend or whatever. He flipped. But what's interesting is everyone thinks that that plane just nosedive and plummeted to the ground. It was a relatively controlled descent.
So you don't think perhaps passengers would have known what's going on?
Not straight away, because it started descending in the first part about 2,000 to 4,000 feet a minute, which is actually 2,000 feet a minute is the normal descent for an aircraft from 36,000 feet. It would have been the last few moments where the captain started shouting and banging down the door. But what I was thinking the other day about that is, I don't know if any of you have been in like a car accident or you've had a bad crash, you've had a bad fall, whatever.
No.
Your body is so flooded with adrenaline, like your adrenal glands just like surge, that often the trauma is post-accident when that subsides. So there is, I kind of hope in some way that those last few moments when they did realise something was happening, that there was so much adrenaline in the body it almost didn't feel
real,
and there wasn't...
It was numb. But I
can't think of a worse way to...
I struggle to even get to the level of empathy because I'm so... It just churns my stomach to try and think of how to deal with those situations. It is unbelievable. And the friends and family will be suffering just as much, obviously.
My auntie is thinking about not travelling to my sister's wedding now.
Because of this all?
Because she's got sat, to her. She's like a receptionist, and she's sat with Sky News on the big TV.
So she was just...
And she's just bombarded by it.
And
it's really hard to take a step back and go, 2.5 billion people are flying.
That's it. It is hard to take a step back. I can understand how people get irrational about those things, even when they're usually calm. You hate flying anyway, don't you, Seb?
Yeah, this is true. I'm just wondering, is it because of that, or couldn't you just not be asked to buy a present?
Yeah, good point. That is a good point.
The presents are always
tricky. It's a good get-out clause,
It's low, but it's a great get-out. Have we wrapped up on Twitter news?
Yeah, that is what's been trending.
Those are the big hitters over the last week.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling, wilding, living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman. I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. And my band bout that money. Break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Hey, 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 oh!
Stop. Wait a minute.
Fill my cup, put some nigga in it.
Take a sip, sign the check.
Julio, get the stretch.
Right to Harlem, Hollywood, Jackson, Mississippi. If we show up, we gon' show out. Smoother than a fresh drop.
Skip it. I'm too hot. Call the police and the firemen. I'm too hot. A dragon, wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Trick, say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. And my band bought that money.
Break it down.
Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe me, just watch. Just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch.
Before we leave, let me tell y'all a little something. Uptown.
funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you sexed and flown it. If you freak dead and own it. Don't beg about it, come show me. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you sexed and flown it. Well, it's Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe it, just watch. Come on.
Ollie Gallant and Cy Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
One of the great modern wonders of the world is, of course, YouTube.
Who are going to just say you?
It's like, it's the closest we've ever been to Neo in the Matrix and plugging something into your back of your head and being able to suddenly fly a helicopter.
Mm.
You can literally teach yourself now.
Yeah.
It's mad. I mean, a few weeks ago I was skiing in the Alps and one of my friends came with us and he hadn't really done much snowboarding at all. And he was unbelievable. He just goes, yeah, I've just been on YouTube.
Really?
He just sat on YouTube and studied and studied and studied all the lessons on there. And yeah, okay.
That's hard to you've got to have some natural ability.
Yeah. No, absolutely. He had natural ability and he'd done a couple of weeks snowboarding, but he was light years ahead of where I was when I'd done 2 weeks snowboarding.
Right, okay.
It was
maybe
quite
he's just
impressive.
More talented than
I mean,
you.
I like flight simulators. I'm
you
willing to.
No. You fucking love flight simulators. Ollie Gallant and a flight simulator. Just, I think you should just explain how long a flight you will do in real time sometimes.
As long as I can get away with without losing all of my friends.
So, for example, in one evening, you would do a genuine flight from, like, New York back to...
No, I mainly keep it in Europe for time.
So tell us, like, the last flight you did at home.
Last...
This is a joystick... Yeah. Isn't it?
Well, let's not belittle it.
Well, no, it's a joystick.
We all do that at home at times.
I want to say it's not a game, it's a simulator, and it's a professional simulator. So, but they call them study sims. So this is what I'm saying. I will use...
Have you ever heard of The Sims? That's good too.
I'll use... Yeah, so I will get genuine real manuals of the aircraft.
What?
Isn't that mad, isn't it? Yeah. It's really intense.
And the software is so advanced that every single dial and knob on the aircraft works as it does in real life. So you'll have to do all the startup.
So you'll, for example, fly from like Heathrow to Stockholm
yeah.
in real time
yeah.
in your home.
Yeah.
So it might take like, what, 2 hours?
And there's real people online that are the air traffic control.
I'm going, you may land now, Mr. Gallant.
Oh, no, it's a bit more professional than that.
Is it?
You've got to use the real terminology,
What do they refer to you then as pilot?
It depends what your flight number is, isn't it? It's different for each aircraft.
So wait a minute, do you speak to them back?
Yeah.
For a headset?
Yeah.
You really are like a frustrated wannabe pilot, aren't you?
So if yeah, what would they refer to you as?
Well, it depends what your
Captain
sign
Gallant.
No, you have like.
Sorry, what
have,
is it?
I mean, I have that on my hat that I wear
right.
when I'm flying.
No, but what do they say to you?
Well, if your flight name was like Golf Oscar India Bravo Oscar, that's how they refer to you.
Oh, so they don't refer to your name?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. It's fine. Just like in real life.
Fine. Okay.
Oh, right.
So, for people that don't have a life.
Normal.
Yeah. Anyway, normal. So
I just play FIFA.
I don't really get any time. Yeah. So I might every couple of weeks now get a chance for a quick flight, but I don't get to do it very often. But what I'm saying is, if I've got like an aircraft that I don't know much about, it's like a new aircraft, I will go on YouTube and learn... about maybe the startup or maybe the flight instruments or the flight computer or
right,
the nav
yeah,
systems
yeah, yeah.
and teach myself on...
Fair enough.
You know.
It's easy, isn't it?
And
there's
Simon,
always going
to
be
actually,
someone...
to the point where Simon and I went in a real professional, like £19 million aircraft.
I've been in one too. I've been in it.
Yeah,
I was
UK,
in
yeah
UK,
he was there
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
And it translates like I knew everything.
Well,
we all
died, didn't we, when you landed us?
No, that was
you
about,
landed us
no.
in. Where did we fly to?
The
Heathrow.
Alps.
Heathrow. We landed at.
Well, no, I landed at, but you crashed us at Heathrow.
He basically had all.
We
the
all
aids
died.
On.
You said we. we'd have all died.
That was a defect with the reverse thrust.
We got onto the runway and then he skewed into the building.
Ooh.
Accidentally. He just didn't know what he was doing.
Anyway, my point with this is I landed
perfectly fine.
I have a little game for you. Okay.
Right.
So I've got
Flight Simulator 2010
of instructional videos from YouTube, and I want you to guess what they're trying to teach you.
Oh, this is lovely.
Oh, this is good, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, go on.
You've put effort into this.
Oh, I always put effort in.
Once a year.
Do you think...
is your simulator broken?
Okay. Right, we're going to start with the first one here. Okay. So I want you to listen carefully to this.
Do we just shout out? Where's the bell? We've got the bell in here.
Got the bell.
So we put it between me and Seb. We'll put the bell between me and Seb.
Okay, whoever gets it first. Okay. Right. Are you ready?
Yeah. Ready.
Here we go.
So I need to add more moisture. No. Keep going. You know, you really do need to put some effort in. If you're just doing this for...
Simon.
Making bread. So,
yes, I will give you that. Kneading dough. One point.
Hello.
To Simon.
Thanks very much.
He's cooking as his main hobby.
Seb, no one
cares. It's all right, Seb. You know, there might be like, you know... BBC Parliament clip in a second. Right then, here we go.
I hope so.
Okay, here we go. Next clip. What are you learning here?
Bunny teeth, and then you bite, not too hard, and blow. If you go to blow...
Ooh, it's got to be a blowjob, isn't it?
You might be biting too hard.
Is it?
It is not a blowjob.
Sorry,
I don't think they allowed that on
queer
YouTube.
Queer it again.
I will let you go for another pass.
Bunny teeth, and then you bite, not too hard, and blow. If you go to blow and nothing comes out, you might be biting too hard...
Any ideas what that is?
I still think I was right with the first guess.
What? Is it like an inflatable something?
Something you bite, but not too hard.
Bite with your teeth and then blow.
So you bite and then blow. What would you do? Biting and then blowing. Any ideas?
I'm doing the action, but nothing in my life reminds me of what that could be.
Doing the action. I'm going
to
give you 10 seconds
or no points across
the board. Would you like to have a punt? Otherwise, we're going to move on to the next clip.
Are you trying to siphon petrol or something?
No points across the board. It was, of course, teaching you the saxophone.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Okay, moving on to the next clip. What are you being taught here?
This can be the most intimidating part of the whole process. The second technique is called pounding. Continue to pound around the outside. Once we've made roughly two passes on each side, we're going to go ahead and go through the center just one time.
What are you pounding there? What are you trying
to obvious
pound?
When you know?
Oh, it's very obvious, Simon.
And then what was it by the side? And then go through the middle.
Do you want to hear it one more time?
This can be the most intimidating part of the whole process. The second technique is called pounding. Continue to pound around the outside. Once we've made roughly two passes on each side, we're going to...
So two passes and then pound around the outside. Any ideas?
You're learning to box?
Gentlemen.
Boxing?
Like incorrect. Simon.
I can't get my head off food because they all sound like they're food-based.
Okay. Have a guess.
What, like the saxophone?
Pizza dough.
Is correct! 1.2 points for
Simon. I'm sorry, all of these dough-related.
Okay, final one. Okay. What are you being taught here?
You'll want to bring the sides of your mouth in, and the sides of your mouth will be blocking the adjacent holes. And you'll want to move...
Harmonica!
Is correct!
Yeah! Get it,
Simon storming
this is the best game ever.
3 points.
This is such a good
and
game.
And you are the winner.
Thanks
of
very much.
What are you being taught on YouTube? pending title for next week.
Yeah, it's not a great title.
FUBAR Radio.
And I fell heavy into your arms. These days of darkness, which we've known, will blow away with this new sun. But I'm
as well as strong, and use my head alongside my heart. So tame my flesh and fix my eyes, a tethered mind freed from the lies.
Welcome to Room 102. It's like Room 101.
But worse.
We were talking earlier, Simon, about age. And I was saying, surely once you get past 50 years old, you don't need to stress about... My mum still does this now. Like, like tiptoes around her age.
Mm.
As if she doesn't want to talk about it. But yeah. I think, at that age, I just get I'd be proud.
Forget it, yeah.
I've survived this long. Like, it'd be like a badge of honour. Yeah. I'm 62. I've avoided being...
Yeah, but that's your 27-year-old self saying that now, isn't it?
I'm so accident-prone, yet I've made it this far.
Yeah.
We've got Valerie on the line this morning. Valerie, can I say how old you are?
Hi, yeah, help yourself.
See, Valerie's proud of it.
Yeah.
I don't mind. My boyfriend's 34, by the way.
Oh, Valerie. Doing well
for yourself. Only as young as the person you're cooking dinner with every night. Valerie, some interesting facts about you. You bumped into the lead singer of Dexy's Midnight Runners on a bus and saw Bowie perform at school before he was famous.
Really? Yeah. That is awesome.
No. To be fair, he wasn't at school. He was at Central Hall in Chatham.
Oh, okay. You
but
were at
do,
school.
But they do brag that they've got almost 1,000 seats.
What do you do when you bump into the lead singer of Dexy's Midnight Runners?
Well, I was on a bus and I was shopping in Brighton, and I had went down with an extremely bad tummy bug, and I thought the best thing I could do was jump on the bus and concentrate very hard on not being ill and get home.
Oh, no.
It's always isn't that the worst though? Like, happens to the best of us. Yeah. That is a dilemma. Do I stay near the toilet where I don't want to be?
Yeah.
Or do
yeah.
I make the sprint?
So that's a risk.
I sat on the bus and I tried to concentrate 100% on just getting home, and I heard a man shout, go on, Dexy, we'll sit down the back. And I was doing one of those seats that, like, faces the back, right at the back of the bus.
Wow.
There was a weird configuration in Brighton. And this guy came down and he sat completely opposite me, about a foot away, staring straight into my face, and it was Kevin Rowland from Dexy's Midnight.
That is so funny. That is great.
And I thought I could do without this distraction at the moment, and so I just had to sit there, and it was just added to the pressure. But I got home.
The pressure of not soiling yourself in front of
Kevin Rowland.
It's a pressure we've all had to cope with at some point in our lives.
Oh, Valerie, it happens to the best of us. All right, then. You've got 30 seconds to give us your pet peeve today. Are you ready for this?
Yep, I'm up for it.
Okay, 30 seconds starts now. Go.
My pet peeve is people who tell you, we don't have a TV in our house, we prefer books. They seem to think it's a mark of intellectual superiority. But books and TV are not mutually exclusive. We've got a huge shelf full of books right next to our huge TV full of programmes. Both require you to be discerning. The intellectual part is in choosing what to watch, not in choosing not to watch.
Okay, that is a good one.
Most rolling news and educational programmes are good, and there's plenty of wonderful entertainment shows. I think if Shakespeare was alive today, he'd be writing for HBO or the BBC.
Do you know what? This is a great point.
And can I just weigh in at this point and say, Oliver Gallant, you are a bit guilty of this because you do have a TV, but you always say, oh, I don't have TV channels.
He has a TV, but he doesn't watch it.
My TV's not plugged in to...
So you're doing it now. He's doing it now. My TV's not plugged in.
No. I have to explain this. I don't have that... Where my TV is, I don't have that aerial thing. It's not plugged into that. But... I am a massive fan. Like, I have a TV, but I've got that Apple thing. Oh, yeah. So I watch
you
streaming.
Basically, you only watch catch-up things.
And the thing is with that is that I just kind of, like, I don't watch, you know, like soaps and things like that, but I kind of watch what I want. And when you say that, you know, Shakespeare would be a writer for a massive channel like, well, let's just say Downton Abbey or HBO or, you know, ITV or BBC, I think you're dead right because I get so excited by, at the moment, big TV programmes for me, Vikings, Banshee, Game of Thrones is about to return. Oh. I'll take Mad Men. All of those programmes. Yeah. And I think you're right. And I think there are snooty people out there that think that it's sort of mind-numbing stuff that you're just wasting your time doing.
I mean, obviously you've got Jeremy Kyle and, you know, rubbish like that. But and anything with... oh, God, Jeremy Clarkson in it. But you've also got... I mean, I think... Tony Soprano is as well drawn a character as King Lear.
Oh my word. The Sopranos for me, Valerie, is one of the greatest TV shows of all time. I could go back and watch all six seasons of that, and I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. You know, if you look back at Breaking Bad, even my dad, who's nearly 70 years old, was completely enthralled by that series, and I think it's writing at its absolute best.
Yeah, we've got the box set of all of them, and we've watched them all once, and we're just watching again. And
that's what Simon did with Hayley. Yeah. They watched it all over again.
We're about three episodes from the end, and it's really proper nail biting stuff. Even though we've
Someone's just buzzed through the studio. Kirsty's just in my headphones there. Right, I think that it's 100% for me that should
it
go
has
in.
To. I think it's such a good... In fact, can we have Valerie back again to do others?
Valerie, we will invite you back again, I promise.
Awesome, I've got plenty of peas.
It's in.
Yeah.
no one has immunity on the roads, do they? I mean, even police officers have to adhere.
Of course they do.
There are consequences if they were to drive recklessly and cause an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Learner drivers kind of get a bit of a pass, don't they? Like, if a learner driver's, like...
What happens if a learner driver...
Like, for example, if a learner driver, like, swerved and, like, went over, like, a double checker line or something, the police wouldn't pull them over because they'd be like, hey, they're under instruction.
I know, but what happens in that scenario? Who gets prosecuted?
Oh, that's a good one. Probably the instructor, because they're meant to be keeping an eye on them.
But they've got pedals, haven't they?
Depends what they're doing. They're speeding, doing 120.
Yeah.
Probably the instructor. Someone cut me up the other day.
Right. In a car.
Yeah. And I realised something. There are people out there that do have immunity.
Ambulance.
No.
Fire and gym.
No.
White van man?
No.
I don't...
Hearse drivers.
Yeah, but they're not driving fast, are they?
You could never...
They're not going to under... They're not going to...
Literally, this guy pulled out, completely cut me up. You know when you're a bit annoyed?
Yeah.
But what can... You can't can't honk, can
course,
you?
Of course you can't.
Can't get... Do you know, and I suddenly realised...
So wait, do you mean like they came out of a junction when you were on the road? And then they came in front
yeah,
of
you? Yeah, just pulled out. Okay. I mean, he was in the wrong.
Yeah.
But what could I do?
Well, you can't do anything.
I can't stick my finger up in front of... Do you know what I mean?
No, of course you can't. Was there a line of then cars following?
No.
Oh.
No. It was I was coming up and he came out of a junction, just went across as if like, yeah, I can do what I want.
Yeah,
you can.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I've never thought of it. Like
and then that. I realised they can be the worst drivers in the world. No one's going to criticise them. It's like if there's police officers listening this morning. And he's speeding a little bit. You're not going to pull him over.
Well, no, but that's the thing. They're never going to speed, are they? Traditionally, they're very slow.
Imagine if a policeman, or like he'd broken the law in some way. Imagine if a policeman had pulled one over.
Yeah.
Everyone driving past would be looking at the policeman going, shame on you. Shame on you.
I know. Actually, this is a good point.
Immunity.
Yeah.
Do whatever they want.
That's a really good point.
Park where they... You're not going to give them a ticket, can you? Can you imagine a parking attendant... You just pop into Starbucks. Just roll up. A parking attendant's not going to go... Imagine if you saw a parking attendant putting a ticket on her... You... Shame on you.
You're dead
he's
right.
Getting a coffee and he's got somewhere to... Shame on you. Complete immunity.
You are dead right there, actually. I tell you who is not exempt from anything, even though I believe they think they are.
Boris Johnson.
No. I'm talking about drivers, like, you know, in the same vein as Hurst. They get a bit of right of way, don't they?
What? The Hurst drivers?
Yeah, like they can just do what they want, like you said.
Yeah, go wherever they want.
People who they think can do this too are the ones that put stickers in the back of their windows saying, baby on board...
Now,
and I shouldn't be annoyed because obviously they do have a toddler on board and they're saying, please be really careful. We have a newborn baby. However, I kind of feel like they've sort of like they're trying to put a bubble around themselves that they could just, oh, well, I can just like be a bit crass and I can be a bit wayward in my driving because, you know, you've all got to look out for me because I've got a baby on board. And are you just putting the sticker up in the window when your baby's in the car or are you just leaving it the whole time?
They're not replacing it. It's not like L plates.
No, exactly.
They don't take them off when the baby's not in the car.
No, they don't. They leave
I've
it up
seen
the whole time.
7-seater vehicles with one person in them and a baby on board sticker and this car is powered by fairy dust.
And where does it stop with things that are important to you? If you've got a lovely Fender Stratocaster that's worth £2,000 in the boot, you put beautiful guitar on board, please be careful. Well, it's crazy.
The other thing is that are they trying to say that I wouldn't drive sensibly around
them
if they didn't have a child?
Yeah, I know.
As if their child is more valuable than everyone else on the road.
I know. There's loads of kids and there'll be loads
if
of cars.
If anything, I hate children. Do you know what also annoys me?
Mm.
Mobility scooters. What are the rules?
That's a good point. I don't know what the rules are.
One minute they're going across the crossing when it's convenient. Next thing they're going down the main road. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure they can. I'm sorry. You can't drive a vehicle on the main road that you're allowed to drive through Debenhams.
Yeah, you can't.
there's got to be a blanket policy.
Yeah, definitely. There can't be. Things that are allowed on dual carriageways that are also allowed round shopping centres. They're not the same, are they? You can't do that. It doesn't make any sense.
And also the ones that have got like the Perspex sort of anorak over them. Do you know what I mean? That you can go out in all weather
conditions.
They
look like really crap tents you get on holidays.
When it was raining, I struggled to keep on, see normal cars. And then you see a mobility scooter. That hasn't got fog lights on
it. Why are they on the road though? Is it because the path on that bit of road isn't big enough?
I don't think they're even allowed on the road. But
is it illegal?
I bet you it's illegal.
Yeah.
It's like a little tiny narrow buggy. Where's the crash protection in that?
Maybe they're just taking their chances. They're that old anyway. They're just like, I'll take the hit.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I'll take it or leave it. If I get hit, at least I get hit in a cool way. I'd rather do that than get dementia.
This is the attitude.
Yeah, maybe
like,
it's that.
When you're right, you just think, well, sod it.
Like, sod it, I'll go on the road.
In hospital, there's a nice nurse. You just think, I'll shit myself. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've lost... You don't care anymore.
I think it was Dylan Moran, the comedian, who, like, once said really famously, like, I can't wait to get to the age where I can look at my son at a dinner table in a lovely restaurant and go, I've just shit myself. You've got to deal with it.
But you must get to that stage in life. You don't care anymore.
Sort of sounds great. I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
It shouldn't, but it sort of sounds
lovely.
You're
on the way to Tesco's, and you know full well...
You'd stop being careful.
You're not allowed on the main road.
Maybe you're more likely to like bungee jump and do extreme things when you're older, because it's like, take it or leave it. Yeah. I'll take my chances.
I'd rather go on my mobility scooter on the A45 than I would in a hospital bed.
Definitely, yeah. Makes sense to me.
Ollie and Si on FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Ollie and Simon.
All right.
And our little friend Sebastian, the newsreader.
I'm taller than both of you.
That's true. And older. Sorry.
We take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth and what's been happening. The big hashtags we've been discussing today.
And more intelligent. Hashtag G2015, general election, of course, underway officially. Hashtag Zayn, you let me down. We've all been recovering after Zayn Malik left One Direction.
Oh, actually, I didn't mention this before. Over 1,000 people in the UK alone asked for compassionate leave from work.
Exactly.
Over 1,000 people. Can I have the day off, please? I won't function at work properly based on the news I've had about One Direction.
This is what
happens. How mental is that?
But also, the biggest conspiracy theory online that we were talking about earlier, that people think he'd left One Direction to join ISIS.
Or was seeing a job swap with Jeremy Clarkson, who was also trending. As was
Shameless link, Seb. Shameless
as
link.
As was German Wings, of course.
One of the big things that happened to me this week was...
We didn't ask, but...
I realised that... I had this conversation last week when I was in Bristol, and I had this realisation that I always read on the toilet.
Uh-huh.
Because I worked out that you spend about between, depending on your bowel movements, about 1.5 to 2 years of your life on the porcelain.
Right.
Which is the equivalent of a degree. So I've always been, it's very important to me to constantly read while I'm on the loo.
Constantly?
Yeah, so I'll always have a book by the toilet.
So what about when you go to a mate's house?
Well, no, I mean when I'm at home.
Right, okay.
You know, I'll have a...
Brings his Kindle with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get your iPad or a book by the toilet or whatever. Because I think, brilliant, I don't want to waste that time. I want to absorb information while I am...
I think it's also natural and better to read because there is something strange about just sat there looking at the wall. Isn't it? Like, is that what we used to... I don't know. I mean, I hate to be graphic, but you always get your phone out or read. Yeah. But just imagine sat there just... You just used to look at the wall. What did you do? Just sat there just like...
Just...
Yeah. I don't know. I just can't imagine being sat there that long without doing anything.
I don't know what... Yeah, I don't know what I used to do before I read. I don't know. Probably just did stare
at the wall. I'd press exact.
Probably pondered life in the universe, I imagine.
I imagine him in his little flat. Doesn't even need to shut the door behind
it's
him because he lives by himself.
All right.
Lives by himself, doesn't even have to shut the door behind him and just sat there staring at the wall with your pants around your ankles. It's so depressing.
I'm reading a book.
I know, but...
It was a bad moment to pop round for a drink, wasn't it?
Anyway, so I thought to myself, where else in my life can I, you know, be more efficient? Where am I losing time?
How long have you got?
One of the big things in my life is washing up.
You hate it, don't you? He's always moaning. He's always, to me, every day I see him, moans about washing up like an old, haggard man.
Do you know what I mean? I cook all my meals from fresh. And right. I have those, and I have shaker bottles and stuff from cycling or going to the gym or things like that. And it just takes me so long. I worked out that I'm probably going to lose a year of my life washing up.
Yeah.
At this rate.
Right.
Have you worked up how much of your life you're going to spend working out how much of your life you're going to spend doing other things?
So I decided, right, I'm not very good at complaining to my landlords. If something's broken, I'll just deal with it. Like, I have to put my head in my oven, which is always dangerous when you're having a bad day.
What?
To light it.
What?
With a
light
match.
The oven?
Yeah, it's a gas oven. And the thing's broken, so I go in the oven.
I'm almost
and I'll be
certain
honest,
that's
there's
not
been bad
safe.
Days at work where I've lingered. Do you know what I mean? You never think about it, but once you're in the oven...
All right, Sylvia Plath.
So I plucked up the courage of the day. I went round to my landlord and I said, look, Het and David, I went round and I said, look, I can't wash up anymore. I just can't do it. I'm wasting my life in that house. I need to get a dishwasher. And David straight away...
Bring me a peasant with a pair of handcuffs.
David said to me straight away, he said, well, where are you going to put? And I said, I don't care if it's in the fucking lounge. I said, I'll put the TV on it.
Yeah.
I said, I don't care. As long as, if there's a robot that does it for me, brilliant. I'll take it. I'll pay for it. Whatever it takes. Uh-huh. I just want it in there. And I gave this thing. And then he just goes, oh yeah, I've probably got one in the basement. Big things have happened in my life.
Have you got a dishwasher?
Big things have happened in my life. I'm talking the first time I flew a plane on my own. When my dad taught me when I was a kid. It was like the biggest day of my life.
A real one or okay. Simulator?
The first time I fell in love.
Yeah.
What? A real one or a simulator?
So far, everything's been online.
The first time, the first motorbike I bought, these are all big, big memories. Yeah. Nothing even came close to the knowledge that soon I will be the owner of a dishwasher.
That's not...
I don't think you understand how life-changing it is.
No, I don't. I wash up, I don't care. I listen to stuff. There's probably someone listening right now who's washing up tea.
I've now got a machine that will do that for me.
Well, good for you.
That will wash my dirty dishes while I nap.
Well, so you're asleep? I thought your whole point was, what could you be doing?
To be more efficient.
You're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot.
I had a bit of a weird one the other day, and I understand and appreciate how much of a wanker you guys are going to say I am. I was on the panel for a food tasting event.
Wanker.
I was going to say that before you talked about the food tasting event.
For our other jobs, we've got an event coming up, and we are the organisers of it, and it's at a very lovely place. And to decide on the menu that the customers are paying a lot of money for, we have to go along and taste literally like the gluttony of having all these food in front of you and go, oh, that starter, that main and that dessert.
I'm not allowed to go because I'm intolerant to everything.
He said gluttony, not gluttony.
Which is the same as us organising like an office like party, yeah, and someone turning up and going, where's the wheelchair access? Oh, sorry, mate.
Is it the same?
What are you doing for the office party? Playing basketball? Well, I'm in a wheelchair.
Their legs don't work. You fart a bit when you have flour. They are not the same.
Plus, people in wheelchairs can play basketball.
Yeah, wheelchair basketball. And no, there shouldn't be a gluten-free basketball team. Actually, the farting might help you get there quicker to the rim.
I'd really quickly move on.
Awful use of the word rim there.
Yeah, that was.
It is a basketball rim. Yeah.
You think that's exciting?
Go on.
I think I melted my shoes this week.
What do you mean?
Well, I sort of got them wet, like soaked through. So,
from the weather?
Yeah.
But you're like the least adventurous person I know.
Maybe you're walking too.
I accidentally stepped in a puddle.
Okay.
It was a rather deep puddle.
So how did you melt them?
Well, when I got home, I stuck them in front of an eater. And
who's an eater?
A heater.
Oh, sorry.
A heater.
Sorry, northernness.
And, I basically left them there for a long, long time.
Is that why you've been so grouchy this week? Because your shoes are rubbing?
Because they're really tight. It's like they're...
You're joking?
It's like they're a new pair of shoes now. It's like they've been bent out of shape and I've got to get back into them again.
Are you joking?
No! They've been killing my feet all day.
So this is all you've got... The biggest event of your week is you melted your shoes and now you can't walk properly.
Yeah, and if they are ruined completely, that's like, you know, a lot of money I've got to spend on
a
pair
of
new shoes.
Because I'm looking at them. Is it a lot of money?
You melted them. Is it a lot of money?
Well, I don't know how much Crocs are.
It's a lot of money when you're up north, I tell you.
Yeah.
BuzzFeed, sort of, it's almost the bane of my day, really, because I sort of really enjoy it, but then by the time I come to the end of the list, I go, oh, that was great, but oh, I've got nothing done. You know what I mean?
And also, do you ever get that thing where the video won't load?
Yeah.
And you're just like, I have to stay here because this could be the best thing ever. And 10 seconds later, I've forgotten what it was.
Yeah, I don't even know.
A couple of BuzzFeeds, though, great ones.
I know.
The sheep flock shaved like poodles is a personal favourite of mine
that.
Over last week.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, no, that's a really good one. Anything that says top 10 or you won't believe this, I'm in.
This is a great one. You're going to love this then.
I get the feeling you two have a lot more time on your hands at work than I do.
We're very creative. Yeah, you're a journo, aren't you?
I live on my own.
He's got a dishwasher now, so he's got time to look at BuzzFeed and do productive things.
This is true.
So anyway, Seb, I want to play a little... I want to play Through the Keyhole with you here.
I love Through the Keyhole. Yeah,
do you mean sort of the good Lloyd Grossman version? Who would live in a house like this?
Okay.
Or do you mean the Keith Lemon, I hate him so much, I'm not good doing an impression of him?
No, go on. Go on.
I know, I can't do a Keith Lemon impression.
I would say somewhere in the middle, probably.
Yeah, we're talking Keith Grossman or Grossman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Keith Grossman.
Okay.
Through the Keyhole with Keith Grossman. Here we go.
Okay.
Picture this, right? Lovely, beautiful villa. Like a house.
In Spain.
It looks Spanish. It's got, like, cacti.
Oh.
It's got lovely palm trees as well in there.
Palm trees.
Looks very hot.
Swaying in the wind.
Looks remote, though. It looks, you know, distinguished, perhaps in a on a mountainside. But it looks deserty. It almost looks like Albuquerque, similar to in Breaking Bad. It's like that sort of lovely, tranquil, but hot.
In the middle of a desert.
In the middle of a desert.
What sort of budget?
Big premises, though.
Big
but
budget.
Beautiful from the outside. Flawless photograph, this first one, of the outside of the house.
They've done it properly.
Yeah. Now, we go into this house, right? Go into the house, go through to the left-hand side. Now, on the left, we have a museum.
A museum?
Now, in, I guess, you know, do you remember Cribs?
Yeah, yeah.
The superstars that have, like, ridiculous money, they can do elaborate things at their home, cinemas, basketball courts. And, you know, if you're into something, memorabilia perhaps, a museum is a lovely, if you're a collector of something.
Stamps?
Yeah, yeah. This is guns. But it's not just any gun, like going, oh, this is the blah, blah, blah revolver and this is the machine gun. No, no, no. This is a museum of guns, and they're all guns that he's used to kill people.
What?
So
do they have a placard on them?
They've got plaques. They've got. I'm not joking. There's plaques.
God.
Plaques under each one.
Didn't they?
Stephen.
Ran.
He tripped me up on the street. Barbara, corner shop, didn't give me all my change.
Stella, meant it, Bob.
Are you kidding?
No, no, no. It's a lovely bit. Individually lit. All the
must
guns.
Wear glasses next time.
all the guns individually lit with the placard in the case. I'll show a quick.
Oh yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
So lovely little picture.
Nicely done.
Of this, a
in
lovely
a display cabinet.
Love, yeah, display cabinets, all perfectly lit. Lovely.
Well, yeah, you can't just leave guns lying around, Ted.
Don't be stupid. Yeah. So anyway, we move through the museum now. It's quite a big museum. We go out the back door. Right. Now, at the bottom of this garden, as you can see, still looking tranquil, is what looks like a cave. Now, I know what you're saying, Seb. A cave is not a usual thing to find in this environment.
No,
it's not built into the countryside. This is a...
murder cave?
No, this is a designer cave... which has just been made to look... So it's got stalactites and stalactites.
Yeah.
But it's just a big swimming pool that he's had built in there, which is lovely, with a few add-ons. Those add-ons being cages full of... For example, I've got a black panther.
What?
I've got two black panthers, actually. I've got a lion, and I've also got a liger, which is a cross between a lion and a tiger. Right? So we've got...
What I'm imagining happening is that he's not an animal expert.
No.
And originally, there was one big pen with a lion, tiger and a panther. Yeah. And now he's had to separate them since the liger came along.
Yeah. So now he's got a liger. Yeah, that's rare.
Yeah.
There was
a tiger. It didn't survive the birth.
No. So he's got an artificial cave, swimming pool, with just onlooking caged ligers, lions and tigers, all right?
Yeah.
Beautiful house. So outdoor swimming pool as well attached to that. Now go back into the house via the patio, and we are surrounded by some wonderful art. I mean, some high-end pieces.
It's nice that it comes fully furnished. I'm interested in.
Fully furnished. This art is high-end. It's worth a lot of money. Every single piece stolen. So every single one bespoke, every single one stolen. No record of any... No record of any purchases been made. Anyway, we move through. Let's keep going because we've got a lot to get through. Now, we come to... I'm going to show you this in a sec. We come to a room and it's empty, apart from one thing. In the middle is what I can only describe as a king-sized bed's worth of cash.
Oh, my God. That is amazing.
Have you ever seen that much money in your life?
That is immense.
So it is piled up in the millions and millions and millions, okay? Now... they went on to search the rest of this guy's house.
Yeah, yeah.
You might have gone by now. He has been arrested.
Oh, right, okay.
And in every single box, cupboard, drawer, crevice of the entire house was more cash.
How much?
We're talking in the hundreds of millions. In bat suitcases, dustbins.
Here's a cabinet
full of cash. Absolutely.
When they say fully furnished, is the cash included?
I imagine they haven't found it all. So if you move in, the chances are you will probably stumble across a couple of million at some point.
A few months later when the kids are playing hide and seek. Do you know what I mean? There's just a coffee jar full of cocaine. Just you've noticed...
Mummy, that sugar was a bit funny!
You've noticed your wife has been more erratic than usual and she's been having cocaine in her coffee. The interesting thing about the liger in that is that... Isn't that fascinating that a tiger and a lion... can make, because it doesn't work across the whole animal kingdom.
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
You couldn't have a elephant have
and a frog.
No, but if you could, what would you have? If you could amalgamate, if it was just as simple as online speed dating, like in the human world, where we just got animals together,
yeah.
And it was about love, not about looks.
Sure.
So if the elephant, you know, say the elephant, he has got a little fetish for chihuahuas, let him at it.
Do you know what? My mind's gone straight to trying to create the elite animal.
Like, okay.
But for some reason, I've just gone, what would be like the most elite? What would be the perfect animal?
Because I've gone for the most practical.
I've gone for the most deadly.
Ooh, see, I think I would worry that if we put all of ours together already, yours is probably going to come on top and mine wouldn't.
I don't know.
This is mine. A dolphin, highly intelligent mammal.
Very randy, though, because they apparently rape each other's heads, don't they?
I don't know whether they do that out of... I don't know
it's a dominant thing. They literally...
use the blowhole.
They have a good old go at the blowhole as a dominant thing. But it's almost like, oh, not in the head.
Can I still pick the dolphin, though?
So how violent is that what happened? He literally, in my...
back of my head, I've got a sore
back
head.
Back of my head. Imagine someone clubbing you over the back of the head repeatedly.
Oh, let me stop thinking about it, actually. Anyway, let me get on with it. Dolphin with an albatross. Now, with this, I would dominate...
A dolbatross?
Well, no, I was thinking an alpha, an albafin.
Okay.
Albafin was the animal. because it feels like I could conquer everything there. So I could be, if it had the feet and the wings of the albatross, it could walk on land. It could be in the air for longer than any animal, but it could also swim and be in the sea and be one of the most intelligent animals on the planet. I think it would conquer.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really strong one.
The alba fin.
I went for, and it sounds great, I went for something a little more practical because a lot of people listening will own dogs and I'm a big dog lover, but I can't help but agree.
So have you crossed you and the dog?
No. I can't help but agree when people say that, admittedly, they're not that useful. So what I've done is I've crossed a cow with a dog so I can milk it.
A cog?
Or a Dow?
A Dow cog.
So you could milk your dog?
Because I'd never have to buy milk. So
would you eat it?
The dog?
Well, no, it's a Dow, isn't it?
The Dow?
Yeah.
Well, no. It's my. What? I love my pet. But I'm still going
to... So you wouldn't be able to have beef anymore because cows are out of the system.
No. I've just got a cow and a dog.
Fine.
And I've made a Dow. But I can milk it. So I've got the sort of everlasting...
You are milking it.
I've got the undeniable love of a dog and a companion, a man's best friend. But I've also got fresh...
They're not though, are they? You're the one that feeds them.
It's 11 o'clock at night. You come back off holiday, you pick up from the kennels. There's no milk in the house. There's always Weetabix in the cupboard.
You'd get lazy, though. You'd stop milking it. You'd just put your tea mug under its udder and just give it a quick squeeze, wouldn't
you? Nothing wrong with that. Squeezing a pat.
Oh, God. Awful. I think mine's beating yours, to be honest. What do you reckon, Seb, so far? Alpha Finn or the Dow?
Yeah, the Dow is useless. It's just, you know.
Are you joking? Yeah. Free
Seb,
milk?
Seb, what's yours? What's yours?
Mine is the Falbra. Which is a falcon and a cobra.
Oh, that sounds dangerous. I wouldn't want to come across that in a dark alley.
I know, that's basically, I just thought of it because we were on the topic of killing people, and I just thought that if it was
you'd find that in that house.
If it was a really, really fast-flying, poisonous animal, that he'd be able to kill things, really.
Well, we got that cleared up.
Oh, no, wait a minute, I'm just scrolling down the BuzzFeed. Number 19 is... that animal in his house. Look, he's got it.
got soul, but I'm not a soldier. I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. I got soul, but I'm not a soldier.
Sports headlines, of course, this week, which we haven't talked about yet, is Australia winning the Cricket World Cup.
I didn't know that happened.
Surprise, surprise.
Didn't you know that?
No.
You're an idiot. You're not really too a favour with the sports thing, though, are you? You're not.
No.
You look blank now. You've got nothing. Look at his face.
Okay, basically, Australia's a really big country at the bottom of the world, yeah. And they like playing cricket where you hit a ball with a bat.
They're really good. They are really good.
Convicts, aren't they?
What?
Convicts.
Right.
Mm. Quick thinkers.
Okay.
All right.
It was, I was watching actually...
Get it running.
I was watching Sky Sports News and they were showing, they did like the highlight rundown of the day and they showed the footage of the streets aligned with thousands of Australians while they were bringing the trophy on the top of a bus.
Parading it, yeah.
Classic open top bus tour. Going like, and they were interviewing all the players like, you know, how are you looking forward to the Ashes in the summer? And they're like, oh yeah, we're going to give the English guys a run for their money. We're going to absolutely
thrash us,
we're going to knock them off their blocks. Like, they're getting really into it. There's thousands of people cheering. Bright, hot, sunny day. Looked idyllic, right? And then in the same segment, and I don't think they were doing this intentionally because they weren't laughing or doing it, you know, they go, in other news, the famous weather vane on top of Lord's has fallen off due to the heavy weather. So you have the juxtaposition of this lovely Australian beach where they're doing the open top bus. They cut to a shot of Lord's with the famous weather vane on top.
Yeah, yeah.
No one there because no one's playing cricket with wind and rain, and it's just a lopsided weather vane. And I just looked at it. I was just so depressed.
What a perfect symbolism for the state of English cricket at the moment.
But also on this programme, I saw something that I genuinely thought, this brand new sport that I thought could be a contender for an Olympic sport. And I'm not just saying that. It's not just a wacky, oh, I've merged two sports together. I think this could be an Olympic sport, but it's brand spanking new, okay? And it does combine two. As a kid, I was always doing this, like, with all my friends. We used to famously, in my back garden, play a version of... It was like a cross between American football and netball. So you couldn't run with the ball, but you'd throw a cricket ball between you and you try and get to the end zone... and intercept the passes.
Right.
Do you know, you must have done this as kids, constantly made up games.
Oh, yeah, no, I know, we must have.
Too many rules for me in that game.
What, in my game just then?
Yeah.
All it is, you can't move if you've got the ball, you've got to pass it to your teammates and get to the end.
I'd want
to
move.
You can move off the ball.
I'd want to move with the ball.
Right, okay, fine, well, you can't play. You must have invented games when you were younger.
Yeah, we did.
You've got three brothers. You must have done it constantly.
Not just sports, but games, yeah, involving usually some kind of way of attacking each other and beating each other up.
Which ends in a fight.
Yeah, pretty much.
Guys,
yeah.
Invent a new game. It's called Monopoly, and we kick the shit out of the loser.
Yeah, pretty much, which you happen to be me sometimes.
I didn't have any brothers. I had a garage with a big wall down the side.
Mm-hmm.
And
generally helps with the structural integrity of the garage.
I invented football against the wall.
Invented?
You invented. Sorry, you invented. You, Ollie Gallant, invented football against wall. Football, a game that's been played since the Middle Ages, and walls, which have been around pretty much since, you know, the beginning of time. You invented the concept of kicking football against the wall.
He grew up in a tiny village. He was probably the only one kicking a ball against the wall.
Oh, everyone else was like, oh, have you seen that Ollie Gallant? Look at him kicking that ball against the wall. Who would have thought of that?
Well, as a 6-year-old...
Is that as far as it goes?
Well, that was the game, yeah.
Right.
Kicking the ball against the wall.
Jeez, are you joking?
But I liked it.
This is what happens when you haven't got any friends.
Well, yeah. Football against the wall. Killed hours with that.
Why, and it just come back to you and you'd pass it back again?
It'd always come back, yeah, unlike my friends.
Anyway, so you were saying...
This is the sport.
Go on.
I think this could take off. First sport emerging. Rowing.
Hold on, are you claiming that you've invented this?
No.
All right, okay.
First sport.
It's no football against the wall.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think I've
first,
seen this.
First one we're merging is rowing. Right.
Now, so it's actually two existing sports who've merged together.
And that's it. There's no extra rules to it
You get then. Rowing.
This does work. So rowing. Now imagine, picture this up. You know the really long rowing boats they use in the Olympics for four people?
Yeah.
Now imagine that, but in the middle, tug of war. Now, not with a rope, two people facing each other, rowing in the opposite direction. How perfect is that? Works absolutely perfectly. Who's got the most powerful strokes? And it works like tug of war.
Oh wow, that's really clever. It does work, doesn't it?
So the rowers have got their backs to each other in the same boat, and the oars are facing opposite directions.
Yep.
And they start in like a swimming pool, and it's whoever pulls away.
Yeah, so you're rowing, but of course you've got like an opposite attraction there, and so it's who can shift in a swimming pool, who can shift it past the line, like in tug of war.
That is really clever.
That could be, you know, an Olympic sport easily, couldn't it?
I mean, it's
where
not.
Is this? Is this in Australia?
No, this was in, I think, Europe. Poland have done this. Germany have done this already. So
it's not. I mean, it's not sort of.
It's great.
Not,
I think it's a brilliant sport. Imagine you'd get so into that, wouldn't you, if that was on telly?
Oh, it's low budget, isn't it?
No,
it's not
F1. Well, you just need the swimming pool after the divers have done it. It's great. No?
No, I do like it. I do like it. I think that could work. I mean, it's no football against the wall, don't get me wrong.
Coming to Brazil 2016.
FUBAR Radio.
Try to keep you close to me, but life got in between. Tried to square, not be in there, but said that I should have been. Hold back the river, let me look in your eyes. Hold back the river so I can stop for a minute and see where you hide. Hold back the river, hold back. Once upon a different life, we rode our bikes into the sky. But now we caught against the tide, those distant days all flashing by. Hold back the river, let me look in your eyes. Hold back the river so I can stop for a minute and be mine. hold each other. Lonely water, lonely water, won't you let us wander? Let us hold each other. Hold back the river, let me look in your eyes. Hold back the river so high. Stop for a minute and be by your side. Hold back the river, hold back. Hold back the river, let me look in your eyes. Hold back the river so high. Stop for a minute and be by your side. Hold back the river, oh. Lonely water, lonely water, won't you let us wander? Let us hold each other. Lonely water, lonely water, won't you let us wander? Let us hold each other.
Even though you look like somebody that reads a lot of books, I don't think you actually do.
No, I don't. Don't read that many. I don't read novels, that's the thing. I read a lot of things, articles and newspapers and online stuff, but sit down and reading a novel, I don't think I've really...
Can't do fiction, but I'm a huge fan of non-fiction. And in particular, I like biographical content of people that have been through very arduous situations. Because sometimes when I find it helps me sort of find a little bit of... you know, a little bit of solace sometimes when I'm moaning about little things, and I read a book about someone that's maybe like survived a war.
Right. Okay.
And I think, why am I getting angry about clicking?
It's a bit like 128 hours or something.
Yeah. Why am I getting angry about click and collect?
Yeah.
I've still got an arm.
Yeah. Sure.
There's a book called Adrift. This is a if anybody listening that wants an incredible story that, and you'll just think, how did anybody survive that?
Yeah.
It's about a guy who survived the longest ever recorded survival at sea.
Right.
And he was like 26.
Really?
He was in the middle of the Pacific Ocean on a boat he built himself, and it literally...
On a boat he built himself?
Yeah. He was a boat builder's son, never really left America, lived in this tiny little fishing village, set off around the world on an adventure, got caught up in a race, decided to do it, halfway across the Pacific, I mean, in the thousands of miles from land,
yeah.
The hull of the boat, he was asleep, because it's got, you know, you get the tillers.
Yeah.
It didn't just... Like, there wasn't just a hole. The hull snapped as it came down on a wave.
So what happened to him?
So he woke up underwater, managed to inflate the life raft.
Yeah.
But he had... This is what I'm saying. This is the difference. Like, he was in the life raft. Imagine, he's still in a storm. There's, like, waves coming over him. It's tethered to the boat.
Yeah.
And he had the... He went, I'm so far from land that there is not enough in the emergency rations box to keep me alive for as long as I need to. Imagine having that foresight.
Right, so wait a minute.
He went back in, underwater into the boat.
Yeah.
And started pulling out things like spear gun, canned food, water.
Is it still sinking at
this?
What?
I know.
Thing is, there's no one around to see this, so he could have just made it up.
Well, no, because otherwise he wouldn't have got all that stuff in there. In a storm, in the dark, Simon. This is what I'm saying. And then
could have been a slow sink. He could have been like someone moving house. Could have just like took the tins of alphabet spaghetti and then put them in the boat. And then it sank. And he goes, "When I get back, I'm going to tell them that I had to swim down 100 yards to
get
it."
I think you're taking away from the fact that this man.
All I'm saying is there was no one there to prove it happened.
76 days at sea, Simon.
76.
76. Anyway, so
what did he eat?
A speared fish.
And just ate them raw.
Oh, unbelievable. Their eyes, everything.
I can't
read it. It will. It's one of the only books I've actually wept while reading. Anyway, my point is that I've started reading, and so on the back of that, I was talking to a friend about it, and one of my friends said he's really, really into his books. He said, "Look, you've got to read this book by Brian Keenan."
Right.
Okay. It's called An Evil Cradling, and I was like, "Okay, I'll go."
I've seen that in the front of your car.
This is why. So I bought it.
Yeah.
I've only just recently bought this book based on that recommendation. And this is about a guy from Belfast who went to Lebanon. And long story short, he got kidnapped.
Right.
And then started for a 4.5 year isolation.
What? And started writing about it.
No, I mean, he was, you know, he was basically tortured for 4.5 years. Goodness. And he was finally released and he wrote a book about it. But the reason I'm laughing is because...
Because you love torture?
Not because I love torture, no. But, you know, recently, like, there is something with all of the sort of terrorism that's going on in the world... There is sometimes a lot to laugh at when they're trying to get their message across.
Right.
For example, the guy in Australia who put the wrong flag up in the cafe.
Oh, yeah, and he ordered out a new one.
Billy Basics.
Yeah, like, so if you're going to do your siege right.
Get
if you,
the flag. Yeah. And then, like, he was going, right, I need a printer. Who's going to print that?
Absolutely, yeah.
No printer's going to go. Printer go. Hi, Printer go. Yeah. I'm really nearby.
I'm in the
actually.
Middle of a siege.
So, do you do delivery? So, I was reading the back of this book, right? So, before this militia has even started,
yeah.
Okay, before they've even got. Before that, I don't know what they're about, Simon, right?
Yeah.
Okay? Because it's all about propaganda and it's about branding, whether you're selling cards or whether you're selling religion.
Yeah.
You've got to have a good brand, haven't you?
Sure.
I feel here the people that got old, poor old Brian Keenan, I feel they failed at the first hurdle.
Go on.
Right? We'll start with the name.
Yeah.
All right? The Shite Militia.
Are you joking?
No.
That isn't...
And admittedly, there's like, there is an apostrophe and two I's in it, so I've highlighted it for you. But...
What?
Can you see?
Sorry, down there. Oh, they've put an apostrophe where the I is.
Yeah, so, if anything, it's the Shite Militia.
You'd never know it was shite without that, though.
And
you?
What I feel is that like they didn't think about it, because if they're doing, like, ransom calls,
yeah.
They're going, right, get the British... We've got Brian Keenan. The Irish government wanting that. Get the Prime Minister on the phone.
Yeah.
Gets through to... finally gets through to 10 Downing Street. They're like, hello. Hi, it's the Shite Militia. Hang...
You'd hang straight up.
The phone would be down straight away.
You wouldn't want it, would you?
Inside on FUBAR Radio.
Hey!
things up today. We've obviously been looking back at the big events on planet Earth over the last week and what's been going on. Some things are based around religion, aren't they? Sort of the core of...
What, like religion?
No, so the motives for
One Directioners, do you mean?
News stories. One Directioners, that's a religion of a kind.
It is, in a way.
A lot of things are powered by hate. Jeremy Clarkson punching somebody in the face. But a lot of things are all about love, aren't they? I mean, that's what makes the world go round. You know, we're all fallible.
There's a song in that.
We're all fallible to it, aren't we? Whether we're a big banker, very rich, very poor, very quiet, very loud, anxious, confident. Doesn't matter. We're
I'm
all
anxious
fallible.
Just knowing where you're going with this.
One of my big concerns in life, and I think Simon and I probably share that, is trying to find Seb true love.
Well, that's really kind of you.
Well, it's just like this week...
I'm very disinterested in your life, but it's nice that you pay so much attention to mine.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about all the things we were doing, and Seb's biggest highlight was he melted his shoes.
It wasn't a highlight. I'm just saying it was quite a big event.
No, deny this. Before the show, we said, Seb, what's happened to you this week? Do you want to talk about anything? And the first thing you said was, my feet hurt. I melted my shoes. It's true, isn't it? That's what you said.
Because I've got them on now, and they're hurting.
He went for a walk, and it was wet, so he put them on the radiator, and I think they're really cheap. And so they sort of... bent into a funny shape, and now he's at work all day just been complaining about his feet.
We have tried repeatedly to set Seb up with people. I mean, and I'm telling you what, I mean, yeah. I mean,
have you tried repeatedly?
Bar, you know, Rohypnol, we've done everything.
I think
all I'm saying is that's a last resort.
I think you're slightly exaggerating
all
here.
I'm saying is
I think you're slightly exaggerating.
I think we need to go with this. I think we need to go back to basics and find, you know, I think this is what a psychologist does, is they go back to the root of the problem.
Mm. Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, someone with OCD...
Did your mum hug you enough when you were a kid?
Someone with OCD, you know, like, I wash my hands a lot.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Right, you know, that's not the problem. You've got to go to the root of the problem to sort of sort it out, haven't you?
Yeah, and I do feel you are trained to do this, if anyone is.
So
on
what
air as well.
I've done
yeah.
is
platform.
I've got yeah. a small questionnaire, which will hopefully
an online questionnaire, yeah.
Find out why you are why you are alone.
That's how the professionals do it.
Okay, so question number one, Sebastian. What's in your fridge right now?
In your what?
Fridge right now.
Right, okay.
Okay, just...
I've got a fridge.
What's in
it's
there?
A fridge that's in your head.
We're talking meats, cheeses, fruits, vegetables, one container of spoiled milk. I mean,
yeah,
what
come
are
on,
we?
Give us a little what,
just
insight.
Beer. What are we saying?
Oh, I can't. I've got what have I got in there? I haven't got any milk in there because I'm not a big milk
the
drinker.
The question was, Seb, what right. have you got
yeah,
in
just
there?
Come on, because we've got a few to get through. So
I've probably got also, some,
probably. You must know
over.
Something in your fridge.
I imagine it's probably just beer.
No, actually, I don't think I've got any beer.
What have you got then?
What have you got in your
What's
fridge?
What's in your fridge?
I've got like a bit of meat.
What meat? What kind of meat?
Right, I'm putting down here, meat, one container of spoiled milk, all right? That's what you've got in there.
I
fine.
Haven't got milk.
He doesn't have milk. Don't
right.
put milk.
Okay.
Just
fine.
Meat, is that
fine.
It?
I'll just put meat.
Yeah, well, I haven't
fine.
Been shopping.
Vegetables, right. fruit.
Question.
Butter.
Who keeps fruit in a fridge?
Right. Question number two.
I've got butter
How
in the fridge. How yeah.
long was your last relationship? Okay, we're talking a few weeks, a few months, a year.
A year.
A
one year,
one
exactly.
year.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't, this is getting very, I'm okay. tempted, it's going to get very personal.
Is your room clean right now?
Yeah, it is actually. I cleaned it the other day.
Good. I Ooh. Think that will bode well.
Yeah, I do.
Where do you go on a first date?
What are the options?
Do you go for drinks, dinner, the movies, a concert, it doesn't matter, or my bedroom, yeah, boy?
Is this a BuzzFeed?
Did you make this quiz
no,
yourself?
No, this is questions I'm asking.
Is this fun
you?
Trivia, Dr.
I'd say okay. I'd say drinks, because that way you can actually, like, talk.
Yeah, okay, I agree there, mate. Good. I think movies are bad first date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was the last time you showered? This morning, last night, I bathe, I've heard ever heard of cologne. What are we saying there?
This morning.
Good.
This morning. Hi. Good. I think this is boding well. Choose the thing
How bad
most,
are your shoes?
Choose the thing most important to you. Is it your friends, faith, family, money, or porn?
So oh, say them
well,
all again.
From that list.
Friends.
Wow, now you come to mention it.
Okay, right, we know what
No, family, of course. Right. Family. Oh. Family.
Family, then porn. Yeah. Seven, be honest, do you ever believe in true love?
Yeah, I'd say yeah.
Good. That is good.
What form does this result take? Is it like a...
Yeah. Let me just process this.
This has been good, hasn't it?
Yeah, is this like a score out of 10? Or what? I don't understand
loading,
what, you're,
what the problem
I hope
you, is.
I hope you're not going to charge
just
me for this.
Loading
oh, it generates what his problem is.
Well, there seems to be... there does seem to have been some error.
Is that what it says his problem is? The problem, there's an error with
well,
Seb.
Apparently, according to this survey...
Are you about to deliver a pre-prepared... conclusion, which you've already done, which is it's got no relevance at all to the actual survey.
No. What does it say, y'all?
According to this survey here, you're single because you're too attractive.
Oh, well, actually, I'll take it back. This seems like a very sensible, logical survey.
You need to consider travelling to another planet because no one on Earth can compare you to the ultimate sexified being that you are.
Well, that was official, wasn't it? That test there.
Okay, well, I'm glad
well, I've got
we
no chance
have
then.
Addressed that. However, I do think the next step for you on next week's show, Sebastian,
fortune teller,
would be to open up a Tinder account.
Oh, that would be fun. Can we do that next week? Go on.
I'm shopping from a fridge.
All right, so that's it from us. If you would like to get involved, if you'd like to give us a heads up on topics you'd like discussed next week, or you'd just like to complain, you can get hold of us on Twitter at Cy Alexander.
That's right, that's correct.
At Ollie_Gallant, GALLANT, or at
Seb Noble.
Oh, is that it? You did well to get that domain.
And we'll see you next time.
Ollie and Cy on FUBAR Radio.